leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick. This is...
When we're talking about the difficulties in the housing market at the moment, the majority of the focus is on first-time buyers and younger couples and developers building for rent so that the apartments are not available to that cohort of the market. But there's a whole different set of barriers if someone is trying to get into the market later in life or indeed go it alone and get a mortgage without the help of a partner. We're joined now by Newstalk's political correspondent Sean Defoe, who's been looking into some of these stories. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Pat.
Now, we talk about those first-time buyers all the time, but there are other people arguably struggling even more than the first-time buyers.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk about the first-time buyers, I think, because they are such a large part of the market. If you look at all home sales in quarter one this year, 52% were first-time buyers. So it's a huge part of it. And, you know, I'm an aspirant one myself, and I can tell you going it alone and going it even with a partner and going it as a first-time buyer is fairly difficult. But there are 100% a lot of advantages to it that aren't there for some second-hand buyers. If you look at the Help to Buy scheme is only available to first-time buyers. You need a 10% deposit as opposed to a 20%. And a lot of the new ones that are going to come in as well, the shared equity scheme, for example, will only be open to first-time buyers. And there's a certain logic to that. Obviously, the vast majority of second-time buyers will have a home to sell, so they have a capital advantage to go and do that and hopefully sell it for more than they bought it and then move up in the world that way. Or if they need to, if they have the resources to buy a second home on top of their primary residence, then they don't need any sort of state help. They have the money there. But there are people that fall between the cracks for all sorts of reasons. And one of those I've spoken to is Gerry O'Neill. He's looking to buy as a couple with his wife, but is facing a barrier that is proving very difficult to get over.
I'm 54 years of age. I had my own business for 11 years in retail up until the crash in 2009. I lost my business, financial burdens and everything else. The marriage that I had, the forced marriage, broke up. And I lost my home because of that. I've been renting for the last 9 years, I'd say. 5 years ago, I met my lovely wife, who I'm with today. So I've literally been saving since trying to save as much as you can while renting, for the last 9 years to try and get a deposit together. But unfortunately, people in my bracket and my with my criteria, or whatever, have to come up with 20% deposit. Now, my wife has never bought a home before, but because I have had previously a home, that means I need to get 20% deposit. We live in Swords. I'm from Beaumont originally. A house in Swords or around the area, it's 375,000, which is 20% of that, as you know, is 75,000. So it's a lot of money, and for me, it never gets talked about because the amount of people in my situation, I don't know the figures on the amount of people that are separated, broke up from relationships, had homes, divorces. But there's got to be thousands. And there's a generation of people in their 40s and 50s that are just stuck in rental. The big difference between first-time buyers and the likes of us in our 40s, 50s is that time. We don't have time. So we'll only get a certain amount, 15, 20 years of a mortgage. And because the life of the mortgage is shorter, your repayments increase. I can't see the reason why you should be penalised because you once had a home.
Extraordinary there. That's Gerry O'Neill, and would be a second-time buyer, even though his partner in life is a first-time buyer, and no prospect of getting that 30-year mortgage because he'd be, you know, 84 before that had been paid off, and they simply won't extend that kind of mortgage. So those who are in Gerry's age group and trying to buy their home, what can they do?
Well, they're facing quite a lot of difficulties. And as he kind of hinted at there, particularly as you're heading towards retirement age, whatever about renting at the minute, but anyone who would be able to to rent at current market rates on their pension, I'd say would be on a very, very good pension. It's definitely not the vast majority of people. So it's one of those things that used to be relatively achievable, Pat. It's obviously never been that easy to get it when you're older or get it when you're going on your own, because this is another group of people, those who maybe didn't remarry in a situation like Jerry's, but still want to be able to own their own home. And Nuala Killeen is one of those cases. She's a 46-year-old. She's a single parent. And as many people did, she moved abroad and worked in the UK and Germany when she was younger. So never bought a property in Ireland, maybe when she would have been in that first-time buyer camp in her 20s and 30s, but still qualifies for some of those advantages. She does have two jobs at the moment, so is earning a relatively good wage. One, working in the constituency office for TD Catherine Murphy, and then her second is as a Social Democrats councillor in Kildare. So pulling in a relatively good salary. Yet she told me when she did try to find a home in the commuter belt in where she's working and living and representing, in her price range, there just wasn't anything to be found.
For me, I didn't find any that were within my price range that would allow me to live in Kildare. I was kind of thinking that an hour and a half commute would really be the maximum that I could manage. Seeing as sometimes we've meetings that, you know, sometimes they don't finish till 10 o'clock at night. And that's my choice. Like, I could make different choices or different sacrifices or change jobs or do different things. But I've chosen not to at the moment. I mean, I could move to Wexford. There are so many beautiful places in Ireland. I could move to them. It's not that I can't. It's that I would really like to hold out and wait for something in my community or near my community. And until then, I'm just going to rent. And so people might say, well, that's your choice. And it is my choice. That's what I've chosen to do. But I do aspirationally believe that it would be nice if I had a different choice. And I'm not against renting. Like, I would prefer, like when I lived in Essex, I rented in a place I wanted to live in because it was beautiful, because I had a great quality of life, because it was really close to my job. I chose to do that, you know, and I loved it. I don't regret it. It was fantastic. It was the best decision for me and my family at the time. But it would be nice to, having returned home from living abroad, to put roots down in, you know, my community. And I look forward to doing that, but I just don't see that happening in the next few years.
So that's Nuala Killeen. For those looking then to go it alone, Sean, are there any specific supports or options that they can pursue?
Well, the one the government would direct people to a lot is the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan. And this is obviously the state-backed home loan, where if you can show you've been turned down for the amount you need by a number of banks, that they will give you that little bit more. And there are some options there. But there are problems with it. And figures even released just in the last few days show that almost half of the applicants for that home loan in the first quarter of the year didn't get it. So I had a chat with Keane Carolan. He's the head of mortgages with Finance One, which is a retail mortgage intermediary or a broker in the common parlance, about what kind of conversations he's having when these people who are trying to buy a loan are coming to them.
Our first role is to set expectations, and more often than not, you're bursting bubbles, particularly with single applicants, because I suppose the harsh reality of buying a house in 2021 is that, you know, particularly anywhere urban, the power of having a double income really does. I mean, even a double income doesn't get you quite where you need to be these days. And doing it on a solo income in what we would have perceived to be good jobs, and what are very much good jobs, but ultimately don't pay the level that's needed to compete in the market at the moment. It's very difficult for anybody. It's the minority that will get through and be able to buy where they want to buy. With the central bank lending caps at 3.5 times income, and you take an average industrial wage of anywhere between 35 and 40,000 euro, I mean, that doesn't buy anywhere urban on a solo income. And so what you're telling them is, you know, as I say, go away and save. That's not what anybody wants to hear. You've got the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan Scheme, which is designed to help kind of low to middle income earners. And so as a single applicant, if you're earning less than 50,000 on the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan Scheme, you might have a better chance of borrowing a little bit more money than you might through the traditional banks. But even at that, you're seeing properties capped at anywhere up to 320,000 euro, which again, doesn't buy you a whole lot in an urban setting in Ireland these days.
All right. Some interesting text coming in, Sean. I bought an apartment 4 years ago with my mum, went 50% in together. Now I want to buy on my own. completely no way of getting 20% deposit because I'm not a first-time buyer. I'm completely stuck. I'm 34 years of age. Another one. Myself and my wife have been paying between 1,300 and 2,000 euro per month in rent for over 12 years without ever missing a single payment. This counts for nothing when you're applying for a mortgage. We have a combined income of around 100k per year. It's difficult, though, to save the deposit. And as we save, time is ticking away. We're in our 40s and hold little hope, really, of buying in Ireland. That's from G in Dublin. Another one about living in the countryside, cheaper houses and so on. This one says, let me tell you for a fact, it's not cheaper to live down the country because there are no jobs there and there are long commutes, so you've got to pay for a car. It takes up whatever you might save by living in the country. It's the imbalance in cost that's all at the same for everybody at the end of the day. Anyway, Sean, not a massive amount there for those people who want to buy. The new affordable housing bill, will it make any difference to the people we've been hearing from?
Well, again, for the first-time buyers, yes. For the second-time buyers, no. So someone in Jerry's situation is still going to face that big barrier with the 20% of a deposit to try to get to. But actually, when you put together a number of the schemes that Dara O'Brien outlined last week, there is definitely options there for the first-time buyers. So if you take, for example, the Help to Buy and the Shared Equity Scheme, which people will be able to get both. I don't think many people know that at the minute. They will be able to take advantage of both at the same time. And that would make a huge difference because the Help to Buy counts off of the deposit, which is a big thing for most people. And then the shared equity, okay, you have to pay it back over the long time. But it would make a difference. If you take a Dublin's median house price is 380,000 at the minute. So you could get up to 30% of that, which would be 114 grand in the shared equity scheme, another 30k for the Help to Buy, which brings you up to 144. And then based on that, people would need an 8,000 euro deposit of their own and a joint salary of 65,000 in order to get the loan from the bank to meet the cost of that. So it does become more reasonable, and it's certainly less than that again. If you take the median price across the country of 260,000, the figures go down again. And it's something that Dara O'Brien kind of argues that a lot of the headlines in the past week, this idea of caps and the prices will be pushed up to caps, he thinks that a lot of those are actually unfair and misleading as to what people will be able to afford in the coming years.
It actually ensures that there's affordability because any price over those cap levels, you can't use the shared equity scheme. So again, a single person who, you know, uses 3.5 times their own salary based on the macroprudential rules, we will then in the shared equity with the state fund the affordability gap. So for them, actually, I think it will work really well. So if it's someone on 60,000, 70,000, 3.5 times, and then the gap between that, their deposit, and the sale price is what you'd apply for the equity. So I think the shared equity is very much focused towards the single earner as well and will work for them. So the caps are caps. Above that, you can't get into the scheme. They're not targets. And it has been presented by some in the opposition that effectively it means we're saying an affordable home is 400,000. Actually, anything but. We're saying that 400,000 isn't affordable for people. That's why we have the shared equity. And it will work very well because it's targeted at those very people who can prove there's an affordability issue. Unlike a scheme in England, which anyone could apply for it, our one is actually focused specifically on the shared equity at those who can prove there's an affordability gap. So I think it'll work really, really well. And if I could say on it as well, it's not a second mortgage either. There's no obligation to buy it out. Okay, so you'll pay a very small servicing fee from year 5 onwards. But again, someone who've been critical of the scheme without even seeing it, we're saying, oh, it's a second mortgage and you'd have to have a loan payment. None of that. It's equity stake and it's very sound and will work very well.
And that's Housing Minister Dara O'Brien. Only time will tell because it's been tried elsewhere. Works in the hinterland where land is cheap. Does not work in places like the city of London. A number of texts coming in and comments. The current situation, read the lack of homes available to buy and the sky high prices. A national emergency. Successive governments to blame. The current situation saw 95% of apartments built in 2019 snapped up by foreign investors. That's according to the Irish Times and the journal.ie. In Dundrum in Dublin, an entire apartment block was bought by a German investment company and rented back to the local authority as social housing for 2,000 euro per apartment per month. That stuff going on, Sean, I mean, we will obviously on the programme be covering whatever the government's response will be to the so-called vulture funds coming in and sweeping up stuff. I think I heard Carl Dieter say that, you know, it might be bad news for those who want to buy, but maybe good news for renters. I don't know. Does anyone want to be paying $2,000 a month?
Well, this is it. It is good news in the sense that there is more supply. But if that supply is not affordable, is that good news at all? And if you are locking into those kind of contracts for a long time, then you are setting the market rates at that for quite a long time to come. And this is sort of the argument that's going on behind the scenes now in government, is that you hear the Fine Gael side in particular and Minister Pascal Donoghue saying they don't want to throw out that equity that's coming in from these kind of funds that will ultimately get more apartments built. But it's sort of a chicken and egg thing. If you build them and they're unaffordable, are they worth having at all?
All right, Sean, no doubt we will be talking to you on this subject and perhaps talking to the various ministers, be it Minister O'Donoghue or Minister O'Brien, about their resolution to this thorny problem. Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, thank you very much for joining us.